This morning's study is going to be on a topic, and it's going to be meditating, particularly meditating in the law of God. There is an art and a science of meditation. It's practiced frequently in the Eastern culture, out in India and in China and other areas. It's actually all over the world, but in particular, its origins are from the East. And it's a particular science, I'd say, or art that people do for relaxation in particular. But we are told in the scriptures, and we're exonerated many times in the Bible to meditate in the scriptures, whatever that word means. And that's going to be the focus today of the study, to look at meditation. What does it mean to meditate in the Bible, to meditate in God's word? Where does God use the word meditate? And how can I do it effectively? Is there a science to it? Is there an art to it? Or is it just something that I'm supposed to intuitively know? Well, I'm going to pick up in Joshua chapter 1, the beginning of where we see meditation. And in particular, it's a good verse to really focus our attention on the reasons why we meditate. And hopefully we can pick up what it means as we go on. I want to start in Joshua 1. Just to get the context in verse 1, if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Verse 1 reads, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying." So God speaks here in this chapter, and then we're going to pick it up in verse 8. God's still speaking. He says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." So verse 8 tells us the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. So that's going to be the focus here, what we're going to look at. That's the reason why I was intrigued with this concept of meditation. What does it mean? What is the Bible? Because it uses the word a lot in the scriptures about meditating, especially in the Psalms. Here we see it in Joshua. But it says this book of the law. Let's start there. This book of the law. Now, if you're a lawyer or you're in law school, you're training, you study law. And it's going to be particularly the law of either your country or your state or the particular field that you specialize in. Maybe it's business law. So you're going to be focused on the law that has to deal with commerce and business, if that's your specialty. But when the Bible says this book of the law, what's it talking about? Is it talking about the laws of the land? No, it's talking about the Bible, which is God's law book for the human race. So it's and how else would I put that? To get perspective again. This might sound very simple, but it's good to have this perspective. What does it mean to have God having a law book for the human race? It's really a book of law, of conduct, of behavior as we live, right? When you think about it, laws are set to organize behavior patterns for the good of society. And in this case, the Bible is obviously a rule of conduct for life, as well as many other things about spiritual issues. But God's law book is how we deal with Him and how we are to live our life. So we're told that this book, that's that law book, we are told to meditate in it, whatever that means. Let's pick up a few other passages in the Bible that deal with meditation so we can understand what it means to meditate in this law book here, the Bible, this rule of conduct for how I'm to live on this earth. Psalm 77, let's go there and pick up the same word, meditate. It's Strong's number 1897. If you're interested in studying this later today, you might want to pull that up in a concordance or on your computer. And it's number 1897 in the Strong's, and it's the word meditate. Psalm 77, verse 11 and 12. Let's listen to this. Because if we find the word meditate elsewhere, it may help us, rather than me trying to study Eastern religion, not, you know, the meditation, that's not always a religion. A lot of times it has to do with yoga, which is more of an exercise physiologically and relaxing the mind and the body. But in particular, the Bible will define for me what meditate means. And then I can use that to hopefully understand what it means to do it. Well, Psalm 77:11 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. Before I go any further, what word is repeated twice? Remember, remember, remember. Well, and somebody else said the works, but we say the wonders, so it was changed. The word was changed. But I want to focus on the word remember there. The psalmist here is remembering the works of the Lord and his wonders. You know, those works are synonymous with wonders. Verse 12, I will meditate also of all your work and talk of your doings. So let me pick up right away in verse 12. If I see the word meditate in verse 12, here's how I can let the Bible define its own terms. Because once again, it's not saying meditation is to or meditation equals. It's not that easy. But it says in verse 12, I will meditate also. So also means that the verse preceding it must mean something about defining the word meditate. So go back to verse 11, and one synonym for meditate is to remember. Remember. That's a mental exercise, isn't it? Remembering is a brain exercise. In school, you probably have to remember vocabulary words and all kinds of other issues when you take a test. So to remember has to do with constantly, and how do you memorize something? What's one way to memorize? What's that? Repetition. Good, Mary. Repetition is a good way to memorize. Flashcards when you're young sometimes you use, and you constantly review them every day. If you want to memorize a Bible verse or anything else, you want to constantly look at it and repeat it over and over in your mind or out loud. Great way to remember something. Very few of us can look at something once and remember it ongoing. So a lot of times it takes repetition. But the Bible says here that one way to meditate, one definition of meditation is remembering. Let's go on. And in particular here, I was talking about the works of God. But let's go on and see some more. Psalm 143, verse 5. Psalm 143, verse 5. Once again, we're going to pick up the word remember. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. Wow, that's repeated again. I muse on the work of your hands. We have a new word there. And it is? Muse. Does anybody know what that word means? Okay. All right. Now we're using the word to define the word we're hoping to define here, Howard. Give me a better word than meditate. Ponder. Rebecca? Inspire? Think about. Dwell. Good words. These are good synonyms. To muse is to ponder, to cogitate, to use another fancy word, to mull over, to think through. When you're preoccupied, that's what you're doing, aren't you? You're thinking. You might be you might be in a conversation with somebody, but your mind's somewhere else, and you're thinking of something else, and you're not really listening to the other person. And that, you know, you're musing something else. Something else is ruminating in your mind. You're thinking. You're dwelling. What do we unfortunately muse over way too much? Problems in life. They seem to preoccupy our thinking and our cogitating way too frequently. But here, you know, the Bible says once again that we're to remember the days of old, meditate on God's works. Again, another synonym, I muse on the work of your hands. So those words are defining meditation as it's sandwiched between them. It's to ponder, to be absorbed in thought. And in particular, we're told, so far we've seen, what are we specifically meditating on? Joshua told us to meditate, God said to Joshua, meditate in the book of the law, day and night. But in the Psalms, what have we seen? What have we to meditate on? The works of God. The works of God. Where are the works of God displayed or given? It's the Bible. Because the Bible is also a history book, is it not? It is a history book. It brings us all the way back to creation 13,000 years ago. And it also gives us the happenings of the people of Israel. So we're remembering God's works, especially his work of salvation, which all his physical works are picturing spiritual truth, which is all wrapped up in his salvation program. So to meditate really is to ponder, to think, to remember. And one way for me to remember is to constantly read over and over again, which is why we really, why did it say in Joshua, you're to meditate in the book of the law day and night, day and night. You got to read the Bible every day and night. You really should. I mean, that's a basic tenet right there. If you want to remember God's works, if you want that to benefit your life, which we'll see in a moment, you want to be in the Bible every day and every night. Now, I don't want to ask for a raising of hands, but I'm going to ask you all a specific question to look at yourself. You got to look at your own heart. Do you read the Bible every day and every night? Or in other words, twice a day. Are you reading it at least twice a day? Sometime during the day and sometime during the night in the evening. At a minimum, that's what Joshua 1:8 is telling us. So if you learn nothing else from this study, or you're not inspired by anything else, this one point is so obvious. If you want to benefit anything in your life, all of your life, you've got to read from the Bible at least once during the day and at least once during the night. You have to. God's telling us to do that. He designed us. He knows what's best. You can't just pick it up on Sunday or once a day or every other day. You're going to be shortchanging yourself if you do that. Joshua 1:8, back to the source of our study here, the beginning point. Why are we to meditate in the Bible night and day? Anybody want to tell me what the result is? Why am I to meditate night and day? Joshua 1:8, because he says there, you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. So somebody else want to define that for me in a simpler term? To meditate in the Bible day and night is going to result in what? Give me one word, it begins with an O, to summarize that phrase. Obedience. Obedience. Meditation in the Bible, or reading it every day, remembering it is to read it a lot. So to meditate is going to equal observing or obedience to God's word, which is going to benefit me greatly. So it's simple, but it's a formula that God's giving us here. So if I meditate in this very rigid and consistent schedule, and it is, what else do you do other than eat, you know, 2-3 times a day, you know, on a regular basis, day in and day out, no matter what the day is? And maybe you can think of some things, but the Bible reading is huge there, and God's telling us to do that. We're actually going to find what it is we're to do, and we're constantly going to be reminded of it. Now, is obedience going to come through one read-through of the Bible? Of course not. How many times have you ever talked to somebody about Bible reading? I particularly like to go through it from Genesis to Revelation and just start over again. That's how I do it. I go through it about every 9 months. I go through the Scriptures. Now, that's just reading. That's not the study time that I might do in my role as maybe trying to prepare a message from time to time. That's a different issue. That's when I might spend an hour or two just on one passage. But just general reading on the train in the morning and at night, or at night at home, I'm going to be reading from Genesis to Revelation. I'm going to keep going through. And then when I hit the Revelation 22, I start back over in Genesis. Somebody once asked me on the train, oh, I'm really inspired. You're reading the Bible. Nobody else does. They always read newspapers or on their laptops. I said, well, I do it every day. Do you ever get tired of it? And I said, no, I can't, because it's a rich book. It's full of life. It's a living book, it's an instruction book, it's a law book, and even if I've been through it 25 times, I'm still just beginning to learn more and more stuff. So you can't ever exhaust reading it. So that's the key there. One read-through will not do it. Get on a schedule, a rigid and consistent schedule, every day, every night, at least one chapter, and you'll get through the Scriptures quickly, as far as the whole book, and then you can start all over again. Now, that sounds like an easy prescription, but how do I do something like that? How do I apply that? I have to set up a schedule, do I not? Now, I'll share it with you mine. It's easy because it's my life. I'm familiar with it most. I take the train into Center City, Philadelphia every day, so it's easy for a half hour in the morning to read there. Now, if you have breakfast at home, maybe that's the place where you want to start to read a chapter or two. I eat at work, so that's different. So I read on the train. At night, a lot of times in the evening, I'll be on the train and coming home, I'll read then, too. Unless I'm having a conversation with somebody. But I will always read the last half hour to hour, depending on the night, before I retire for the evening. That's my schedule. Now, that's just non-study time. That's just reading through. I'm in the Psalms this week. I just go from one to the next to the next. Just enjoy it. So that's my schedule. It's a great thing to do at night before you go to sleep because it's the last thing in your mind. And you're not going to hopefully be worrying about things, which can keep you up at night and give you restless sleep. But if you want restful sleep, it's a great thing. So I want you to think right now, your schedule, whatever your life is, whether you're in school, you're retired, you work, whatever your situation, when can you, if you don't read twice a day, when can you read in the daytime and in the evening time every day for the rest of your life? Now think about that. Each one of you has to answer that question yourself. It doesn't have to be the exact same time, but you have to fit it in. And I want you to leave here today with a commitment and a rigid schedule that you're going to set, at least this week, if you don't already do it, twice a day. Because Joshua 1:8 is telling us day and night. There's not just once a day. All right, let's go back to Joshua 1:8. We're to meditate so that we might observe his law. What's the promised result if you succeed in meditating day and night and you observe his law? Read the rest of Joshua 1:8. That's right, Jim. For then, in other words, before you see that colon in the middle of the verse, it talked about meditating day and night, and it talked about, therefore you'll observe what's written in it, because you'll remember it. You keep cogitating over it. But what will happen? For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Notice that word then, T-H-E-N. It's not going to happen without the prerequisite, what was written before. You're not going to prosper. You're not going to succeed in life. And I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel here this morning, that you're going to be wealthy and rich and famous if you follow God's word. But what I am promising you is what God does, which he says you will prosper. We're going to see that in a moment. And you're going to have good success in your life. Then it will happen. If you're in that word day and night, it will follow. It's a natural law that God has set up, just like the laws of physics that we were talking about earlier with one of the high schoolers here. Physics class. There's laws of physics that God sets up in the natural world that he's created. Certain things follow certain laws every time. Same thing with the Bible reading. You're going to find this success happening. Well, let's look at some examples. Five examples of what it means to prosper and have success. Five places in the scriptures where prospering or success is written about. Let's go to Psalm 1, verse 1 through 3. Okay, remember, this is the result of meditating day and night in the Word of God. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. There's our phrase again, meditating day and night. So he's in the law of God day and night. What's going to happen? Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What happens when a tree or any plant is near a water source? It prospers, it grows, it flourishes. Do you want your life to flourish? Do you want to be beaming? Do you want to be joyful? Do you want to be effective in your life as a witness of God and his amazing salvation? Well, here it says, you'll be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Do you want those fruits in your life? They're only going to come if you're meditating day and night in the Word. Do you want to be known as a loving person, as a joyful person? Well, these are fruits that are only going to happen if you're meditating day and night in the Word of God. And you're going to start living them, and you're going to receive the benefits of that. And it also says, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Now, that's an amazing statement there. Whatever you do, you'll prosper. I mean, you're going to feel great because you are going to be in the will of God. No matter what's happening in your life, it's going to be viewed as as prosperous for you. Doesn't mean you're going to necessarily have all kinds of money and wealth. I'm not saying that. That's not in this. That could happen, but that's not the issue. The issue is prospering spiritually, most especially, And your life is just going to be beaming. You're going to be radiating the love of God to everybody that you come in contact with. That's one example. There's five, I said, of prospering, and it will go well with you, and you'll have good success. Another one, 2 Chronicles 31, talks about King Hezekiah. He was a good king. A lot of good things happened with Israel under him. 2 Chronicles 31, 20. And thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandments, to seek his God. Now there's our key phrase there. To seek his God is linked into meditating day and night in his word. I'm not going to prove that right now, but that's what that means. To seek his God, he did it with all his heart. So he did it with passion. He did it with energy, with focus. He was really zeroed in on the word of God, the law of God. Guess what happened? And prospered. So here's what happens. Every work that he did, the Hezekiah the king, every work he did in the house of God, it prospered. Everything, it was good in Israel with him when he was seeking God with all his heart. And he was the leader. So here's the rule or the takeaway. Your family, maybe you're the leader, maybe you're a parent in your family. You're doing this, it's going to filter down to the other members of the family. Just like it did with Hezekiah, it filtered down to the whole nation of Israel. And Judah was just, they prospered well in the things of God, when he was doing that. So do you see the effect you have? And if you're a child, you can have an effect on your siblings or your classmates or other kids you have influence over and who respect you, look up to you. It can really start to infect other people. So there's a great success and prosperity there. There's two. There's three more. Another one's in Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. We're looking at this prospering and success. If you're meditating day and night in the Word of God, what happens? Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Now, parents, pay attention to this one especially. This is huge. Just what I talked about earlier. About if you're in the Word of God day and night, here's what you can do for other people, especially in the house. Hear, O Israel, verse 4, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And you shall teach them diligently unto your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Verse 8 is memorizing. Isn't that a good translation of verse 8? That's memorizing. Verse 9, you shall write them upon the poster of your house. How many of you have Bible verses on the wall of your house anywhere? Or in your room? And it says, and on your gates, and it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give great and goodly cities. And I'll just stop there. In other words, what the Bible is saying here is you're meditating in the Word of God. You're memorizing it. You're remembering it. You're teaching it to your children if you're a parent day and night. When you rise up in the morning and when you go to bed at night. You see that same thing being repeated here? That same cycle of morning and evening, day and night. So you're constantly in the Word of God, and you're also talking about it. So in other words, it's coming out of your lips all the time. It's kind of woven into your speech, your actions, your attitude, constantly, daily. And the result is things are going to be well. And that's what we were told in Joshua 1:8. You'll be prosperous. You'll be have great success. If you're doing this over and over again, consistently. Now, there's two more to do as far as this prospering. What does it mean to prosper spiritually? What does it mean to be prosperous or successful? Another one is in 1 Chronicles 22. Let's go back there. And this time we're going to look at King Solomon. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 7. Here we read, and David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. You remember, David was the one who had the idea in the first place and the desire to build this great temple. But Solomon, his son, is the one who wound up doing it. And then we jump over to verse 11. Same chapter. Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he said unto thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Notice, what were we saying in Joshua 1:8? Let's stop there. If you meditate day and night, then you will, before prospering and succeeding, what preceded that? What was that, Joan? Before that? Nope. If you meditated day and night, then to observe all that is written therein. Remember, that preceded success and prosperity. He said, you'll have the benefit of observing the law of God if you know it real well. And you meditate day and night, because it'll constantly be in you, it'll convict you, and it'll teach you what to do. So this meditation day and night really has to do with observing the law. So here he says, David's talking about this to Solomon, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God in verse 12. And then he says in 13, then shall you prosper if you take heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Dread not, nor be dismayed. So what was the predecessor to prosperity and success? Joshua 1:8 said it. 1 Chronicles 22 says it. You got to observe the law of God, the word of God. When do we get into trouble? When we fail to observe the word of God, the law of God. We think we know better than God. We're smarter. It's not relevant in this situation that I'm in currently. This is different. I might try to justify an action or a behavior. And if I don't observe the word of God, that's typically when trouble follows. So the big takeaway here is the meditation day and night keeps me out of trouble. You want to stay out of trouble? Stay in the word of God day and night, and you will have prosperity. You will have success. You will have joy. You'll have gladness. It's guaranteed. One last look at this prospering and succeeding. If I observe God's word because I'm meditating all the time in it. Genesis 39. And who's focused in that chapter? Anybody know before you turn there?
Joseph.
Very good. Joseph in Genesis 39. I wonder if he prospered. Well, he was in the dungeon for a while, wasn't he? Well, let's see what happened. Genesis 39, verse 1. Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. There we see it. He was very prosperous. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. That is a wonderful prescription there. Whatever Joseph was doing, God made everything to prosper. Wouldn't that be great in school? Everything you did, every test you took, you prospered. You did great. You had an A every time. At work, every time you did something different, it worked out perfectly. God made everything prosper for him. But then in verse 7, we see here, they said, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master knows not what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but you, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Did Joseph prosper here? He did. Even though when he didn't lie with her, he didn't commit adultery with her, because she had cast her eyes upon him. She was throwing herself at him, in other words. But he refused it because he knew the law of God. He had meditated successfully. He knew the word of God, that was against God's law. And he said, how could I do this and sin against God? How could I? I'm not going to. Even though he got thrown into the dungeon because his wife then was, what would be the right word? She was not jealous. She was resentful that he didn't want to take her advances. So then she said, I'll get him. And then she kind of pretended or faked a rape cry. And then they threw him into the dungeon. So, but yet he did prosper because God took him out and made him basically the second in command over all of Egypt. So it worked out in the long run for him. He did prosper because he followed God's word there. So what is going to really convince me that meditating in God's word, reading it every morning or sometime during the day and at least once at night, so twice a day, is guaranteeing me good in my life? The greatest chapter, and I really want everybody to, if you think about this message later today or tonight, I want you to read this chapter. It's long, it's 68 verses. It's Deuteronomy 28. I'm not going to read the chapter, but I'm going to point out one or two verses to kind of whet your appetite. Because Deuteronomy 28 is that great chapter that compares and contrasts two things. Anybody know what they are? If you obey, you get blessing. If you disobey, you get cursing. Those are the words that are used throughout that chapter. And it all comes down to the obedience of God's word because you're meditating in it. Not because you're being taught well or, you know, you just pray a lot for obedience. It's happening because God gave us the prescription. Reading it day and night. Meditating, remembering, cogitating. Remember the words we used? Musing. Pondering. That's the word of God. Reading it and thinking. Thinking. Reading. Meditating. Thinking about it. What did I just read? Don't just read it and put it aside and forget it. Read it and think. But anyway, Deuteronomy 28, look at verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God. Where's his voice? His word. He speaks to us through the word of God. So if I'm listening to the word by reading it, in other words, to observe, to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. So whether you work in a city like I do, or you're a farmer out in the field, or anywhere in between, whatever you do, you're going to be blessed. Excuse me, God's going to bless you there. Verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of the ground, the fruit of thy cattle, etc., etc. So all these great blessings come, so that's why you want to meditate and read the word day and night. It's going to bless you whatever you do in life. It's a guarantee. But the Bible says that if you stop doing that, look what happens in verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if you'll not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, all these curses shall come upon you. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the field. Guess what's going to happen if I stop reading the Bible on the train every morning? When I get into the city, guess what's going to happen? A lot of curses are going to come upon me. I know that would happen. It's a guarantee. If I'm not meditating in God's word, I'm going to get tripped up. Something's going to happen. Things will happen. God will put them in my path, and it will not be good. I know it. So the key is for all of us here to learn that we have to meditate day and night if we want it to be well, if we want to prosper and succeed in whatever we're doing in life. You've got to be in the Word of God. That's a prerequisite. You know what that word prerequisite means? In school, sometimes when you have an advanced class, it'll say a prerequisite is English 101. That means that you have had to take English 101 before you can take the advanced class, English 300. Same thing with God's Word. You will not prosper. You will not succeed if you're not in the Word of God day and night. That's the thing that we really want to pound home here. Now, one final thing I want to leave us with. I talked about, and we talked about, we defined synonyms for meditation. And the Bible gave us, what was the one that began with the letter R? Gabrielle? Oh, I thought you were ready to answer. That's why I called on you. Howard beat you to it. Remembering. The word meditate, one of the synonyms is remembering. What was another one? Marlena? Muse. Wow, good. That was a fancy word. Another one? What did muse mean? To ponder, to cogitate, to think, to mull over. So how do I meditate? How can I practically do it? I can say it, but how do I do it? Do I study the art and science of Eastern meditation? One yoga master wrote the phrase, what is meditation? It's deep concentration on God. That's another way to say it. I mean, when you think about it, deep concentration. And that's why, you know, when people meditate physically or the exercise of meditation, they do it to relax their body and their spirit. They put their body in a completely relaxed state and they meditate on whatever. But we're talking about meditating on the Word of God to remember it so I'll do it, so I'll be successful. Well, all right, let's go to Psalm 9. I'm going to read, I'm going to finish with this. Psalm 9, verse 15. And verse 16. You're not going to see the word meditate here, but it is, the definition of the word is meditate. It's hageon. You ever read that in the Psalms and say, what is that? Hageon. It begins with an H. Some kind of a musical term. It is, but the literal meaning of the word hageon in the Hebrew is a meditation. Let's see. Verse 15 of Psalm 9. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgments which he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Hageon, Selah. The word hageon means a meditation. You know what that means in a musical term? It means to pause. It means to stop and think. To think. So the Bible is telling us here, stop after those two verses. I just read those two. And think. Why? What was it says, remember it. Remember it. So what was 15 and 16 saying? The heathen, in other words, they devise these things to do, these, you know, sinful things. But they're going to get snared in what their own trap. And it says here that God's going to execute that judgment and their own trick is going to come right back on them and get them. And then, therefore, the Bible says, think about this for a minute and now read the next verse if you thought about it. Do you have it in your mind now? When you go against God's word, heathen, you know, your foot's going to be taken in your own net, your own trick. The wicked, in verse 17, shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. You see, they're not remembering. The opposite of remembering is forgetting. That's why I want to pound home that word remembering today. Because meditating is remembering. And remembering helps you avoid doing the wrong thing. Because when you do the wrong thing, the Bible said, think about this now. Think about what's going to happen to the heathen. Don't keep reading. Hageon means stop. Don't keep reading until you really get this. And he says, because the wicked are going to be turned into hell. They're going to be dead. They're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. That's the end result of that. So remember the book of the law, because when you remember it, you'll do it and you'll prosper and succeed, as Joshua 1:8 said. Ultimately, that has to do with great spiritual prosperity, the fruit of the Spirit, all the great attributes of God. And you're only going to know it if you read it. So I'll leave you with this thought or challenge. If you're not reading the Bible twice a day, minimum, day and night, it has to be sometime during the day and sometime during the evening, you got to get in the Word of God. If you're eating three times a day, you got to read the Word at least twice a day, as Joshua 1, as Psalm 1 said, day and night, meditate therein. Leave here today and commit to yourself, if you're not doing that already, no matter what else is going on in your life, whether you have six subjects in school you have to study for Monday through Friday, whatever else is going on in your life, you got to read the Word at a minimum twice a day, and you will then begin to observe the law much more readily, much more faithfully, and you will succeed and prosper in the many, many ways we read in the Scriptures today. May God bless us all with that gift of meditating and remembering that it'll be well with us. Amen. All right. Anybody want to add, subtract, or make a comment before we close? Howard, take the mic there, if you would.
I know with myself that my eyes get weary very quickly, and sometimes it's sloth. But would you also think that not only reading day and night, and maybe you can't, for instance, a blind person couldn't, and illiterate couldn't.
Yeah.
So hearing
yeah.
the word and reciting the word, like for me, myself, I go to bed in the evening and I listen to family radio to teaching, and I have an MP3 that I also go to sleep with.
That's great.
And so hearing the word, even though I'm not reading it.
Yes.
And so hearken was in some of those verses.
It was, yeah. You're right.
And hearken, in sense, means to listen with your spiritual ear.
Yeah, it does. So. Howard brings a very good point. Let me just reiterate what he said and summarize it. I am focused all the time on my reading. I'm assuming everybody's got the ability to read, but I recognize that you can get just as much, and it's just as equivalent if you're listening to the Word of God. Hence, you know, family radio, 2, 3, 4 times a day has the half-hour Bible reading. Or if you have an MP3 player, you're exercising, you're walking, you're driving, whatever, you can listen to the Word of God. That's equivalent to reading it. So thank you for embellishing that study to show that there's more than just one way to meditate. It's not just reading, it's listening, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and that's listening. So thank you, Howard. That's a very good point. Excellent. All right, well, we're going to break for 15 minutes, and at 11:30, we'll have our second and final study of the morning. Thanks for your attentiveness today.